In Vancouver, I am Plant on the Line. This is thecommentary.ca. The first 3 years in the life of a child are important in its development. The child learns to trust, develops a sense of self, and forms attachments. As such, this time is important for parents. Dr. Jen Berman joins me now to talk about her new book, Super Baby, 12 Ways to Give Your Child a Head Start in the First 3 Years. I don't have children, nor expect any time shortly, but for parents in the audience, this is a substantial book and quite accessible. Parents are probably too busy to read a book cover to cover, but this book is set up that you can go to the appropriate chapter, like what toys you should give your kids, or what foods to avoid, or how to communicate to the child. Dr. Jen Berman is a marriage, family, and child therapist in private practice in Los Angeles. Her previous book, The A to Z Guide to Raising Happy, Confident Kids, was a Los Angeles Times bestseller. Her parenting column appears in a number of publications, including Los Angeles Family. She is a frequent commentator on various media, including television, on programs like The Oprah Winfrey Show, The Today Show, and The Early Show. She also hosts a call-in program on Sirius XM Radio. Her website is at drjen.com. Super Baby is published by Sterling. Please welcome to the Plant on the Line program in Los Angeles, Dr. Jen Berman. Good morning, Dr. Berman.
Good morning. Thanks so much for having me on the show.
You're very welcome. I looked you up on Facebook, mm-hmm. and you've got a page there, and under address it says that it the postal code is 90210.
Yes, it is.
So you're actually in that neighborhood?
My office is in 90210, yes.
Yeah. The first three years in the life of a child, have we always known them to be critical?
We didn't. We didn't for many, many years. We thought that they didn't mean anything and didn't matter what we did with our kids in the first 3 years. But as it turns out, they're three of the most crucial and critical years when it comes to child development and when it comes to emotional development and attachment and creating a secure foundation for kids.
Why didn't we think that? Is it because they don't talk that much?
Yes, I think we underestimated kids, and I think we thought, oh, well, they're not able to communicate, they're not able to say all that much, they're still learning words, well, it doesn't really matter, let's catch up with them when they hit about five and they become more interesting. And, you know, part of the reason why I wrote this book is that, you know, I had been studying child development for many, many years. I'd been writing a best-selling column and a best-selling book on parenting. But to be honest, I was terrified when I was pregnant with my twins, and I was really worried about those first 3 years because I knew that they were important, and I had read a book that talked about how when a child is born, they have a 30-point IQ range that they have the potential to reach. And I wanted to give my children every advantage possible, but I didn't know how. And so this book was born out of that desire and that passion. And understand, Super Baby's not a book about how to push your kids too hard or how to drill them with flashcards or anything like that, but it is a book about creating, forming wonderful, healthy, attached relationships and giving your child a physical, emotional, and intellectual edge.
I've seen on the Internet and these Baby Einstein DVDs. So those are, I've never watched any of them, but my understanding of them is that they sort of, parents use them because they'd like their child to be intelligent in the sense that they can, I guess, get through college in a year or two, right?
Well, actually, the Baby Einstein videos have been proven to actually not help children. On the contrary, they actually harm children. There was a study that came out where they had children watching of so-called infantainment DVDs, and this study specifically focused on Baby Einstein and another one called Brainy Baby. And what they found was that for every hour of infantainment DVDs that children watch, they had 6 to 8 fewer vocabulary words than those who did not watch those videos. So I have a whole chapter in my book all about the importance of children not having screen time for the first 3 years. And I know that it's a bitter pill for most parents to swallow, and understand, I practice what I preach. I have twins. My twins did not watch any television until they were almost 3.5 years old. So I get how difficult it is, but I also fill the book with tons of tips on how parents can do basic things like take a shower, fix dinner without turning on the television.
Most parents would think that it'd be difficult to do that without the TV.
Yes, most parents would, and it's a whole lot harder if you start out doing it and then you have to take it away. It's a whole lot easier if you just never put it on. It's far easier to to regulate it from the beginning than it is to change the way you handle it when you've kind of opened the floodgates already.
How old are your twins now?
They will be 4 on Monday.
Really?
Yep.
Yeah. Back to the parents wanting their children to be geniuses. Mm-hmm. That's not the point in this.
Not the point of Super Baby. Super Baby is about connected relationships. It is about giving your child an advantage or a head start, but that head start is really about attached relationships that give your child the security for their brains to actually be able to do that higher order learning, not about pushing them too hard or drilling them or putting them in front of the TV with those kind of DVDs.
And the parent who reads the book, who follows what's in the book, gets a child, hopefully, that's empathetic, that's resilient, and that's emotionally intelligent.
Yeah, and I also believe that they will have a better experience parenting. I mean, I know that as I wrote this book, doing all the research and writing up all the tips and figuring out how that research actually parlayed into everyday parenting situations, I felt like it made me a better parent. That writing the book in the end made me a better parent and made me feel more capable and more knowledgeable. And I believe anyone who reads the book will have the same experience.
Do you find that the mistakes that parents make or the children aren't empathetic, that they aren't resilient, say?
I do think that we are producing a generation of kids who are less resilient and who are having a lot more trouble. And I think that it's not because parents don't want the best for their kids. I think that a lot of parents have been misled about how to get there, and that's a big part of why I wrote this book. You know, I think the self-esteem movement has been very misunderstood. A lot of parents think that just tell your kid they're beautiful and they're smart and all that sort of stuff, and that will make kids with great self-esteem, but actually the truth is the studies show that's not how to do it, that just giving praise actually makes kids less likely to take risks and makes kids feel worse about themselves, not better.
Now, you're in practice there in Los Angeles. Mm-hmm. Well, what's the biggest mistake that parents make?
Well, I think that you know, I mean, that's certainly one of them, but I also think with young infants that it's not treating your infant like a person. You know, that a lot of the time parents don't treat their infants as well as they would treat their best friend. And, you know, we assume because they're not verbal that they don't know what we're saying or that we don't have to have manners with them. And, you know, I've seen too many parents, you walk into your kid's room, the phone rings, and then suddenly you go flying out the door without saying to your child, oh, the phone's ringing, I'll be right back. And that's something that's simple manners that we would do with a guest in our home, but we oftentimes don't do that with our child. And it's important to create that communication, that respectful communication, because, first of all, that infants understand a lot more than we give them credit for. They are able to understand words, some believe at least 6 months before they're actually able to speak. And not to mention that you want to create that habit of communicating respectfully with your child, because you're going to want your child to do that with you as well.
Yeah, and we can pick up cues from a child, right? Early on?
Well, it's important to pay attention to our children's cues, because that is how we really get to know our child, but also how we create the sense of safety in the world. When our children feel that the world is a safe place and they're used to being responded to and they're used to having their needs met, and understand, I don't consider I want that toy to be a need, but I'm scared, I need my mommy, that's a need, or I'm hungry, please feed me, that's a need. So when children are operating in a world where they're used to having their needs met and their expectation is that people understand me and people help me, it creates the cognitive ability to have their brains open to much more higher order learning.
And now you mentioned talking to the child, speaking to the child, and what the child hears. Does the child in the first 3 years, does that understand tone?
I think the tone is very important. You know, oftentimes kids understand tone long before they can understand the specific words.
Right.
And that is very important.
And in terms of languages that one speaks,
mm-hmm.
Is that important to expose them to different languages?
I think whenever possible it is. And, you know, especially in a place like Canada where It's quite common to be multilingual. It's important that parents take advantage of any kind of language opportunities that their children might have, because we know that kids who speak a second language, they have higher IQs, they have better focus, they're more creative, they have better thinking abilities, they have more language, heightened language awareness, better math ability, better skills in reading and writing. So it's a great advantage that parents can offer their kids. My kids have been exposed to Mandarin Chinese and Spanish since they were about 9 months old, and we don't have any native speakers in the house. And now I have two almost four-year-olds who are able to understand and speak some of both languages.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it must be fun.
It is. It's really exciting to hear them speaking.
Yeah. You've read to your children from early on?
I've read from very early on, and we try to have a six-book minimum a day in our house, because I just believe that reading is one of the most important things that you can do. A study came out that said that reading three picture books a week can increase a child's vocabulary from 15% to 40%. Three a week, that's nothing.
Yeah.
Parents should be reading three a day, easy. You know, if it doesn't take that long to read a picture book. And if you do it from the beginning, you'll find that you have a child who is better able to concentrate and focus, has better skills, better cognitive development, better vocabulary. It really is one of the greatest gifts parents can give a child.
And when does a child learn to read itself?
Well, you know, most kids learn somewhere around six, but, you know, it depends on the exposure. I kind of feel like it matters less. A lot of parents are really eager to push their kids to learn, and I know there's some videos out now and, you know, about teaching your baby to read. And I think that that's so much less important than using books to have a connected relationship and helping your child develop a love of reading, because that's something that will give them academic success for many, many years to come.
Now, there's a myth that if you pick up a child when it cries, that it becomes spoiled. Is that true?
It is not true at all. That responding to a child's cues or cries is what makes a child feel safe. Spoiling a child, you don't spoil a child by picking them up. You spoil a child by giving them toys that they don't need, or even, by letting the child run the household and letting the child have too much power. It's important to be respectful and to acknowledge your child's wants and needs, but you shouldn't meet every one of them.
And then the other thing that I read in the book that interested me is that the use of car seats, mm-hmm, and strollers should be limited.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, and believe me, as a parent of twins, I couldn't have survived without my car seats and my snap and goes and all of those wonderful modern conveniences, but too many parents overuse it. And what we have is a generation of kids who are spending too much time in plastic car seats. They're getting flathead, which is terrible for brain development, but also they're not able to connect with the world. You know, the child who's put in the car seat and then pulled out in the car seat, put in a snap and go, and then goes to grandma and grandpa's house and spends the whole time in the car seat, sure, it's much easier for the parent. But compared to the child who is taken out of the car seat and carried to the door and then put on the floor for some tummy time and passed around to grandma and grandpa, and who hears all the sounds and is able to turn and see when the door closes, as opposed to the child in the car seat with the high sides who can't see where the noise came from, that child who was passed around and got to interact is at a major advantage over the child who stays in the car seat.
Now, there's a great deal of talk nowadays about toxicity in the home.
Mm-hmm.
And the book discusses that in length, and I think that's important, whether you have a child or not, to reduce toxicity and then the sort of chemicals that one brings into the house.
Sure.
Well, what's the common thing that we can do?
Well, I mean, there's so many things, and I cover so many of them, but like a couple simple tips is, you know, what we know is that there's a study called the doormat study, that when we walk into the house, we track lead dust on the bottoms of our feet. Now, don't forget, our young children, our infants and toddlers, are crawling around on the floor, they're picking stuff off the floor, they're putting their hands in their mouths. What we know is, according to the study, is that if you put a good doormat in front of your house and you use it, it reduces lead dust in your house by almost 50%. If you take off your shoes when you enter your house, that reduces the lead dust by 60%. If you do both those things, you reduce the lead dust in your house by 98.5%. That's a lot, and that's a pretty simple thing to do. And if you don't want to use a doormat and take off your shoes in your house, okay, then just take off your shoes before you go into your kid's room. And those are simple things that you can do that really help your child that most people don't know about.
Yeah, and there are these seven ingredients that one should avoid in terms of eating habits.
Yes.
And then what are they?
Those are everything from GMOs to pesticides, bovine growth hormones, MSG, mercury, aspartame, and food coloring. And, you know, once again, I really try to make sure that I don't provide any problems without providing simple solutions in Super Baby. So, for example, if you look at pesticide exposure, there's what's called the Dirty Dozen, and I include the list of the 12 most pesticide-laden fruits and vegetables that we have. And if you simply buy organic for the Dirty Dozen, because not everyone can afford to buy organic for everything, just buy organic for the Dirty Dozen, you'll reduce your child's pesticide exposure by 90%. That's huge.
Yeah. And the other thing, I'm jumping because there's just so many things to talk about in the book, but sign language.
Mm-hmm.
You found that useful in raising your children?
I found it to be incredibly, incredibly useful because we know that children are able to coordinate their hands long before they're able to coordinate their mouths. So we take for granted how difficult it is to form a word because forming a word involves the muscles of the mouth, the tongue, the breath, all that sort of stuff. And so it's far more difficult for a child to do than to actually move their hands. And so what I recommend, and I include actual diagrams of signs in the book, start with three simple signs, milk, more, and eat. There's three great signs that can really help get your child off on the right start. And I did it with my kids, and it was the most amazing moment when one of my daughters, who did not have any words at the time, looked up at me and signed milk. And all of a sudden, I knew what she wanted. And I have to say that in our home, I'd say probably decreased tantrums by about 50%. Because my kids were able to communicate what they wanted. I made a list, once my kids started speaking, of how many words they knew in sign language and how many they knew verbally. And their sign language vocabulary was triple that of their spoken vocabulary, which meant that I had tripled their ability to communicate with me, and it made such a wonderful difference in our home.
Did you find that doing these things that you talk about in the book, that you were able to find time to sleep yourself?
I wrote this book, I didn't get much sleep, but you know, look, I did everything in the book, and I wasn't losing sleep because the things that I share are time-consuming. I lost sleep because I have twins, and they had colic and reflux for the first, 6 months. But that said, I did everything in the book, and in the end, everything that I recommend, I believe, made parenting easier and more pleasurable in our home. In the book, I include hundreds of easy tips for parents, and not every tip is going to be right for every family, but every family is going to be able to find tips that are helpful and will make their jobs as parents a whole lot easier.
Back to the TV part, because I found that fascinating.
Mm-hmm.
Your kids are four now, or nearly four,
mm-hmm.
and they've avoided the TV for the first 3.5 years of their life.
Mm-hmm.
How do they react to it now? Do they know what it is? Do they seek it?
They know what it is. They watch TV once a week. They each get to pick one 20-minute show from a DVD. We have a selection of DVDs that we deem appropriate.
Yeah.
And they each pick one show, and they enjoy TV. They like it, but it's not the focus of our family.
And that'll carry, do you think, until they're in their teens, say?
That's my goal. My goal is to always have it limited. It probably won't be 40 minutes a week by any means, but it's certainly it's not going to be excessive.
What did you learn the most that you hadn't known previously after writing this book?
I think that the area that was most shocking to me was the chapter on toxins in the home.
Yeah.
Because, I'm a therapist. My background is in journalism. I did all my undergraduate work as a journalist, and that's actually what I started out doing before I became a therapist. So I really wrote that chapter less as a therapist and more as a journalist, and I think that's what shocked me. What shocked me was how many toxic chemicals are in our children's environment and how little has been done to protect them, and also how simple it is, how little changes, like the pesticides that I mentioned before, that by going organic with those 12 fruits and vegetables, you can reduce toxic exposure by 90%, that there are so many simple things parents can do that we just don't know about. And so that was really what was most enlightening to me.
Dr. Berman, this has been most interesting. Congratulations on this book and continued good luck with it.
Thank you so much.
You're very welcome. The website for more is drjen.com. The book is called Super Baby, 12 Ways to Give Your Child a Head Start in the First 3 Years. It's published by Sterling. The author, Dr. Jen Berman, on the line from Los Angeles. In Vancouver, I'm Joseph Plata.